You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word, and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. I invite you to check us out at soh.church. While you're there, download our Sound of Heaven mobile app. You can get it on all the app stores as well. There's a digital Bible, all of our teachings. There's a great online community that you can be a part of. And if you're listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe, turn on your notifications. We don't want you to miss anything as we continue with our daily studies. And we're continuing with the special study that we have. If you're listening in real time, it's Holy Week. If you're listening another time, this is still very, very relevant because we're studying the words of Jesus on the cross. And I hope that you have been enjoying the study so far. Day one, we covered probably the one that's the hardest for us in our life, and that's where Jesus is on the cross, and he's getting abuse and mockery hurled at him, and you know, to the degree that I hope none of us ever even come close to. But yet he looks down at all those who are the transgressors against him, the very people that he set out to save. And what does he say? He says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And my question would be is, can you forgive those who have wronged you? Can you set aside your own hurt and your bitterness and resentment, which, by the way, is only hurting you, and love for the greater good? And the greater good in that respect is being able to find peace within yourself. Because, again, like Marianne Williamson so boldly said, that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. And Jesus shows us a perfect example of what it means to love unconditionally. Because if anybody had not only the wherewithal, but all the reason to be angry with those around him, it was Jesus. He was betrayed by those closest to him and mocked by every single person to some degree. Every single person to some degree failed him, even those closest to him, who even stood at a distance and couldn't do anything. But look at what happened when somebody did try. Peter cut off the ear of Malchus, and he said, I can handle this if I needed to in that manner. But what? Those who live by the sword die by the sword. And by the way, this is how it has to happen. And sometimes we go through struggles in our life, and honestly, this is how it has to happen. And then yesterday we talked about the thieves on the cross, right? The two different men, both condemned just as Jesus was. The difference was Jesus was perfectly innocent. They were perfectly guilty. Both deserved death according to the natural law. Yet Jesus forgives, right? The one rebukes the other and says, "This man has done nothing." He goes, we are guilty. And there was an acknowledgement there, right? First, there was a reverence from God. He says to the other thief, he says, "Don't you fear God?" And then he says, you know, basically, "I'm guilty." And then he declares Jesus as Lord and then asks him if he could be with him, if he could remember him when he comes into his kingdom, he being Jesus. And Jesus says, "I'll do more than remember you. As a matter of fact, today you'll be with me in paradise." And we have to realize that when we go through that process of having a healthy viewpoint of the Father in heaven, and when we look at ourselves and we acknowledge our own imperfections, but we acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, that not only is that something that God takes notice of, but God legitimately saves us and gives us a place in the kingdom. So here, this next part, the third thing that Jesus says on the cross, when he's there, he looks down and we see two very important people in his life, John, the disciple, and Jesus's mother. And he makes a declaration over them, which changed the course of both of their lives, but also represents a very, very strong example for us. Now, in the past 3 years, when I have rolled out this teaching, I've always kind of ended with an acknowledgement of Jesus's obedience. I want to read through this and then And then I'll get to this because I want to actually, when I was praying about this morning, I want to invert how I normally teach this. I put a heavy emphasis on Jesus's adherence to the law here. But what really hit me in my heart was that that's not the most important point, although yet it is very important. Let's go ahead and study this out. I'm going to read. We're going to be in John chapter 19, 26 through 27. It says, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. So Jesus looks down and he sees the disciple he loved very much, John, and sees his mother, whom he loved very much as well. And he says, "John, this is your mother. Mother, this is your son." Now, in previous teachings, I have put a heavy, heavy emphasis on the fact that in Jewish law, in Jewish custom, it was expected, especially of the eldest son, to care for the parents. And you can go all throughout the Torah and you'll see that there are examples and laws around making sure that parents take care of the children. Let me flip that. Children take care of the parents, right? And in the past, which I'm not taking away from the importance of this, but it shows that Jesus was obedient to the law, even to the point of his death, even to the point of him completely fulfilling the law, right? And we can take a lot from that, in that Jesus was obedient to God's laws. But I present to you this morning that this is not the most important aspect. And what really hit me in my spirit today was that to just point out as the greatest part of this interaction, Jesus being obedient to his obligation, is a lesser love than maybe some of the two other points that I'm going to make, right? Anything we do out of obedience is important. But when we operate out of a position of obligation, it's, I would position, a lesser offering, right? If you're just going to even church on Sunday and you're giving a tithe because of obligation, and that's a big difference between Old Testament giving and New Testament giving, truthfully, is in the Old Testament, you gave a tithe out of obligation. In the New Testament, especially, we'll study this in the book of Acts, they gave out of the abundance of their heart. They didn't give under compulsion. They gave from a willingness. They gave from a position of love. So while it's extremely important to point out that Jesus was being obedient to the law, there was a greater love that was being shown here. And let's just acknowledge something. Jesus loved his mother dearly. And even in his point of agony, he looked down on his mother. He could have been totally self-absorbed, right? Sometimes we get into a funk, we got a lot of stuff going on, and we're in pain, whether physical, emotional. And it's all about us. It's all about what we're going through and all that. But yet Jesus shows the example of looking down at his mother and saying, "You know what? I want to make sure that she is taken care of." So Jesus shows the deep love for those whom he was surrounded by, those closest to him, in his own mother. And that's something where, you know, most of us take that, the concept of blood relatives being a responsibility of ours to love on, keep in touch with, to care for. That is a universal and timeless principle. That is absolutely the case. You know, your family is are the folks that God surrounded you with that you really had no choice, right? If you look at the different stages of love, you have the lowest form of love, and that is what is the Greek word eros, which is where we get the term erotic. That's a love that just takes. That's a love that is self-serving. But then you have kind of dueling, you know, you can make the case for two different types of love. And what I'm talking about here is the way the word love is used in the Koine Greek, which is one of the original languages of Scripture. You have storge, which is a family love, right? Which is somewhat of an obligation in a sense, but it's a love of those who are of our own blood. And then you have philia, which is actually where we get the term Philadelphia. It's a brotherly love. It's a friendship love. Both are very strong in their own respects, right? You don't choose your family. You're born into your family. The friendly love is a powerful love too, because you choose your friends. You choose the people that you are around. But then, of course, every time love is referred to in Scripture, according to God's love, it's agape, and that's perfect love. It's perfect because it's unconditional, right? There's nothing that can shake it. There's no circumstance that is a threshold where that love ends. You can't say the same. You certainly can't say it about eros, but you can't say the same about storge, family love. You can't say the same about philia, which is brotherly love, right? At some point, people get us where we're up to here and we're like, I'm done. I'm washing my hands of you. But godly love is the agape love. It's the love that never walks away. It's a love that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that is one that is extremely difficult for us, but is one that we strive for. But really what Jesus did, as we see through his ministry, right, is he redefined even the term of what family is. If you recall, Jesus, after a long day of ministry, comes and him and his disciples are just sitting down. This is back in earlier in the Gospel of Matthew. And he's just sitting down trying to have a meal. And then people, of course, are crowding him. And his family comes. And as we see, I believe the Gospel of Mark makes it pretty clear, they come to intervene. They want to pull Jesus away and say, hey, you're making a lot of people mad. You're causing a lot of trouble. You're really going to get yourself killed out here. You know, they love Jesus, but they were trying to pull him away from his destiny. But somebody comes to Jesus, if you remember the story, and says, you know, your mother and your brother is here. And what does Jesus say? He says, who is my mother and my brother but them that do the will and the work of the Lord? It says to that effect. And what did Jesus do right there? He redefined what it meant to be family. Not that there's an obligation that you can only love people that have the same faith. That's not what this means. But we have to understand that, yes, the term blood is thicker than water holds weight, but nothing is more powerful than the Spirit. See, what these disciples were really had right in front of them with the example of Jesus and were about to learn in the New Covenant Church when they get to Pentecost and each believer gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And today, by the way, you and I are in this same covenant. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Is that blood is thicker than water, but nothing is more powerful than the Spirit. And you and I are connected by the Spirit. So when Jesus looks down at his mother and his brother and says, behold, woman, this is your son, and John, this is your mother now, he is giving them a bond through the Holy Spirit that goes beyond even earthly obligation. And this is so beautiful because all of us have different family situations. Some of us grow up with a great family. Some of us grow up with a difficult family. Some darn right terrible. But the Holy Spirit and our connection to one another and the divine obligation to one another to love one another allows for us to be on a greater playing field where we can all consider one another as family. And this family bond that we have can transcend even blood, can transcend even our friendships, even our likes, right? I make the joke a lot. I said, I love more people than I like, that's for sure. I don't know if you can relate to that. But what I'm getting at is that we are all connected by the same spirit. And the reason we are able to have a deep, intimate connection with one another that transcends even blood relation is because of that Holy Spirit. And it's because of the Holy Spirit we can look past each other's faults and not only see each other through the lens of performance or what another person can do for us, but we can see people as God sees them, right? Jesus, a couple days ago, we studied it. He looked down at even those who had spit on him, had mocked him, had been gambling for his clothes. But he doesn't seek to destroy them, and he could have. He says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Jesus leads with love. And in that way, he fulfills every single law of the old covenant, right? Love your neighbor as yourself and love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. That's really what it's about. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. So what I want to encourage you with, based upon Jesus' example, the third thing that he said on the cross, behold, woman, here is your son, was that first Jesus cared for those who were closest to him. He, even in his time of agony, he provided for his own mother. And that's an example for us, that even though we're going through things, that we can look out for one another. And in doing so, we honor God. Remember what Jesus said. He says, what you do for the least of these, you do for me. So whether it's our own parents, our relatives, the elderly, we have an incredible power through the Holy Spirit to be someone who can make sure that other people are provided for, regardless of the situations that we're in. And I don't know about you, but I know I've been through some tough times in my life, and I'll tell you that there is real personal breakthrough when you could set your problems to the side and say, I'm going to focus on helping somebody else. As a matter of fact, that's what Isaiah prophesied and talked about when he spoke to Israel in Isaiah chapter 58, 6 through 8. He says, don't just fast and put ash on your head. He goes, this is the fast that I choose for you. Loose the bonds of wickedness, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, invite people into your home, do for others. And then what happens? Your breakthrough will come. Your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And it says that you will call to me and I will answer. I'll say, here I am. Our breakthrough is about pouring into others. And I think it's just such an awesome example that even with everything that Jesus is going through, he looks down at his mother and his disciple, and he says, I connect the both of you for a higher existence than just caring for yourself only. Right? Amen? So as we go out today during this Holy Week, let's remember those who God put closest to us. Maybe there's a family member that you haven't talked to in a while, and it kind of irks you on the inside, and you feel like, I should reach out. Just even if you send them a message and say, hey, I just want to let you know I love you. Or maybe there's somebody that you have been estranged from, that there's some animosity there. Let this be a week of forgiveness. Let this be a week of reconciliation. Reach out to that person and say, hey, I'm sorry. Or hey, things didn't go as we would have liked, but I just want to let you know I'm thinking about you and I care about you and I love you. It's not easy. Simple to say, it's not easy, but it's transformative. There's power in that. Just find someone to take care of. There's so much need in the world, and you have so much power to do good because of the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your example on the cross, how you cared for your mother, how you cared for your disciples, how you always provide regardless. Help us to emulate that in our life. Not only this week, because it's a holiday, but throughout the rest of our life, so that we can honor you by being like you. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. Check us out, soh.church, 1% Christian, special Holy Week study. Visit us at Sound of Heaven, 375 Comac Road in Deer Park. I love you guys, and I look forward to continuing this study tomorrow. Have an awesome day.